information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge,
we care.
Appear to border
it shows.
The law?
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
It's a case of bread and circuses. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 177 of Media Monarchy. It's July 9th, 2010, and my name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, drug war, deterrence, and danger. Holy hexes, grim sleeper, and Tex-Mex evacuations, Empire Police State and airport insecurity, chemtrails, corporatocracy, and econo-crash layoffs, London bombings, Lady Gaga, and the Babylon system, plus all the latest from New World Next Week, Ground Zero, Food World Order, Cyberspace War, so much more. July 9th, 2010, episode 177 of MediaMonarchy.com.
We'll be right back.
Walk Tall. That's the lead cut from the brand new solo record from the lead singer of Block Party. His name's Kele Okoroke, but it's released just under the name Kele, K-E-L-E. The record's called The Boxer, and again, that song is called Walk Tall. You might recall Block Party from My Mercury's in Retrograde. And is Mercury still in retrograde? Damn, it seems like things are strange. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. It's the 177th episode, and it's July 9th, 2010. I just have to stop and think that that's now already 100 more episodes than the longest radio show I've done previously. And that was a DJ mix show called Skinny that I did back east on WSHC. Those archives are slowly getting put up and we'll slowly filter them out to you. But enough about all that, my friends. We're here and we're now. And as always, we are broadcasting live from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. ZeroPointRadio.com, simulcasting, also on 92.3 FM and 1670 AM in Casper, Wyoming, the worldwide home of free speech, blasting out of Florida, revereradio.net. And of course, thanks to all the other affiliates that rebroadcast the show, Free Radio Olympia, frolympia.org, 98.5 FM in Olympia, Washington, Berkeley Liberation Radio.net, 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California, OneSkyRadio.com, 90.7 FM, KWMD in Kisilov, Alaska, PhantomRadio.org, kicking it, ducking, bobbing and weaving in Boulder, Colorado, 93.9 FM, and of course, my man Jeff at Radio23.org. They make the high-quality Media Monarchy episodes available for you. Feeds.feedburner.com/Media Monarchy HD. And you get the full, big, fatty 192 kilobits per second. It's big, but it's high quality. And if you've got a pirate LPFM internet community radio station, please replay Media Monarchy, New World next week, the interviews, the mixtapes, the B-sides, all the alternative media that we cover here for you. And again, we do the data mining, sifting through the mass amounts of information and trying to make sense of it all. I should also tell you, you can make contact with me, facebook.com/Media Monarchy, and so on and so forth, with Media Monarchy as your keyword or username, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, ustream.tv/Media Monarchy. We are streaming live video of this episode 177. Send me an email, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. We've got shirts on Cafe Press. We're on Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org. We've also got FoodWorldOrder.com, CyberspaceWar.com. We also now have NewWorldNextWeek.com, the weekly YouTube series with James Corbett of Corbett Report. And that's what we do. And that's how we do it here. A couple of notes also here at the top as we take care of all our interpersonal business. My man, Doug Lane, DouglasLane.com, L-A-I-N, host of the Diet Soap podcast, and you may recall we had an interview with him, I guess, a couple of months ago now, when he was starting his Kickstarter project, Pick Your Battle, all about urban foraging here in the Pacific Northwest. My man has met his goal. And I forget off the top of my head now, I'd have to bring it up. I can't remember if it was $6,000 or $9,000, but he raised it. He made it. That shows that as things fall apart, new structures will build. And as we're in the middle of things, it's difficult to have perspective. You need the hindsight to go, oh, that's what was going on. That's why that was happening. This was a reaction to this other thing. But again, when we're in the eye of the hurricane or the oilicane, if you like, it's hard to tell what's going on. But new structures and new support models and new community support and outreach and connections are happening. But it's a difficult growth. And what works for some may not work for others. Sometimes lightning can strike. Again, to use tired weather metaphors. We've been doing this show on the Portland Radio Authority for almost 4 years now. Obviously, 177 episodes, plus tons more B-sides, mixtapes, interviews, all kinds of media, all kinds of content. And we're nonpartisan here. We've now seen and we've now been broadcasting and publishing and active long enough now that we've seen the supposedly two different parties change places. And again, it wasn't crystal ball gazing and it wasn't rocket science. It's just, again, doing the data mining, doing the homework, looking at it, seeing A, B, and C, and saying, well, I think D comes next. I also want to mention, I'm going to be in Seattle next week. I don't know if there's any folks out there. If you know of anything up, MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. We may not have time for any Media Monarchy business. This may just be a personal trip, but throwing it out there, again, in an effort to continue to make connections. I'd love to go on tour and go hit the pirate and internet and other stations. Go hit Alaska and Olympia and Berkeley. But I'm digressing. And we always pop up the breaking news as we're doing this show, so we can stay on top of things, because more often than not, there's an update or an addendum to the stories that we already have massively mapped out that we're all going to go through here. And again, it's all put up on MediaMonarchy.com. The site is half, the show is the other half. You got to put them together and go down the hole yourself. Don't take my word for a damn thing. But if we look at the top of Google News right now, you kind of see what's shaken out. And it's either, as we said at the top of the show, a case of bread and circuses with the World Cup going on. And that quote actually comes from one of the articles we have linked up. In Spain, unemployed teacher, a guy named Julio Ramirez, said, it's a case of bread and circuses. When Rome was falling, they'd throw a circus and have some food for people to basically make sure they don't riot as things fall apart. Does that sound familiar? And then, coupled with that, and again, we're going to brush on all these topics, the other bread and circus, ridiculous tabloid celebrity distractions of sports and LeBron James and who's going where and yada yada. And this is what we typically always say, that if you got half as energized by what's really going on in the world, halfway around the world and in your own backyard, as you get about ridiculous bread and circus garbage, I venture to say we wouldn't quite be in as dire straits as we are. Would you agree? So we see those two stories playing out, and then you throw on top a different kind of protests after conviction in Oakland. Basically, a cop who killed a guy got manslaughter and not murder. And there's riots. Quote-unquote riots. They, of course, are always quick to call things riots. So whether that's at G20 protest or in poor-ass neighborhoods around the country when people get mad that cops run roughshod over them. So whether that's Oakland or whether that's Portland, they're going to be quick to call it riots. I predict a riot, as the song goes. Is that all our business? Again, as I look at my notes, Seattle next week. Congrats to DouglasLane.com and his Kickstarter project meeting success. Again, all about urban foraging in the Pacific Northwest. And we're only going to see things like community food become more important. And again, don't think I'm here on my high horse talking about all these things. I struggle with all these things myself. I like to eat some junk food and watch some dumbass TV. But that's got to be the side. That's got to be the exception. And again, this may be pointed towards myself as much as anyone else. And that's the difficulty with which it seems to, you know, as if we wanted to force some kind of thing right now and make community food happen and make all these more things happen. I don't know if it's going to happen that way. It might just happen when it happens. And when the doo-doo hits the oscillator, as they say. But I'm digressing and rambling, my friends. We want to hop over to MediaMonarchy.com as, again, we start to go through all our news that's all laid out in a somewhat orderly fashion. Again, it's gotten pretty damn hot here in Portland, my kingdom, for an air-conditioned studio. But again, it can't all be luxury. I do this because it's a passion. And I'd do it shirtless and half-naked in here if I had to. But let's get to the news purge this week. Walk Tall, again, named for our opening song. And we're going to start off with drug war updates. I know we usually start off with the 9/11 updates as we go through our subheadings alphabetically. But the 9/11 updates we put with the 7/7 anniversary post that we're going to go over in just a little bit. So starting with the drug war and starting on newsjunkiepost.com, marijuana busts is where the money is for cops. Marijuana, certainly not the most pressing crime problem in the U.S., but local police departments with chronic budget shortfalls are concentrating more on pot busts than ever before because, quote, it's where the money is, according to one California sheriff. In an era when law enforcement has been forced to lay off staff, reduce patrols, and even release jail inmates, officers have found that going after marijuana growers and smokers makes them eligible for hefty federal anti-drug grants. This coming from Justin Sheck at Murdoch's Wall Street Journal, who we're going to hear from a lot more in this episode 177. But continuing, Shasta County, which we're going to return to in just a little bit. Again, find that all these stories are connected, and that's the amazing thing as we put these shows together week after week. I don't see the connection sometimes until I'm going through them. And again, I like Media Monarchy being a repository and even a resource for a lot of the other alternative media outlets that I love and look up to, whether that's groundzeromedia.org, zeropointradio.com, or corporatereport.com, or alexansary.com, or any of those. To see it then get turned around and have folks pick up on things, and then I learn things. And again, that's how it all works. Shasta County Sheriff Tom Basinko said his department is eligible for roughly $500,000 a year in federal anti-drug funding. The only problem is most of the money has to be used to fight pot as part of the multi-agency federally funded campaign against marijuana planting. CAMP. The federal government has for a long time allocated money to help local communities fight crime and influencing their law enforcement priorities in the process. Now, of course, what isn't mentioned right there, not to say that News Junkie Post would leave this out, but we were just giving you the first couple sentences there. To fight crime, everybody knows that if you legalized all drugs, you would cut out most of the crime. And I think our cartoon posted up on the top of this news purge with the drug war, marijuana bus, where the money is for cops, shows a judge in the courtroom and the guy standing in front of him. And the judge says, if we tolerated your pot use, next we'd be legalizing hemp, which would threaten my investments in synthetic fabrics, plastics, pesticides, oil, prisons, etc. So I have no choice but to jail you for 30 years. And that's how it goes. What goes along right with that from Alternet, pot versus alcohol, as if we needed a new article on this, but again, just further proof, putting it on the record. Experts say booze is the bigger danger between weed and alcohol. I don't need to tell you that, but again, we need to tell everybody else that. And again, I'll throw out just as it pops into my head, and speaking of Clyde Lewis, I know his take is that they're going to give us marijuana and trash everything else. And now a story that we've got under the drug war postings, and I believe we also reference it in our police state updates. National Guard troops invading neighborhoods to fight drugs. Again, fighting crime, fighting drugs. The military now has to come into your neighborhood to keep you from using a plant. And of course, we always just want to quote Bill Hicks that making a plant illegal is kind of unnatural and is like saying your creator made a mistake. But we've got more on this story. New York National Guard invading neighborhoods to fight drugs. We've got it from blacklistednews.com, one of the premier alternative news sites. And a lot of this is sourcing back to, I believe, a Fox 23 report that ties in with this. Buried in the story that's just supposed to be good PR for the military police state fighting the menace of marijuana that, again, they keep illegal to keep themselves sitting pretty. With the aforementioned investments in synthetic fabrics and plastics and pesticides and oils and prisons. But then you discover things like this. New York National Guard using gamma ray scanning machines.
In tonight's Fox Focus, the New York National Guard has been part of missions around the world, but they also have a very important one right here at home.
It's to keep the drugs off our local streets. Their technology and training is now free to local police departments and agencies if they want it. As Fox 23's Kristen Lahman explains, no one's been turned away if they ask for help.
Dust and desert, the images most equate with the New York National Guard on the front lines in the Middle East fighting the war on terror. These images are pictures of another fight, a fight here at home.
The war on drugs is an ongoing war. Our people are committed to this fight, and it's a domestic fight. They firmly believe in it.
The New York National Guard's Counter-Drug Task Force providing not only the people, but the equipment law enforcement may need to make drug arrests and seizures.
We can go right on the scene with this or into a car. You can sniff around with it, or you can take a swab of a surface and put it into the machine, and it'll tell you what it is.
Using ionization, counter-drugs machines can detect chemicals, explosives, narcotics on money, weapons, even fabric. A simple swab can tell you if that surface had contact with those substances.
nothing.
And a simple sweep of an undercarriage or a scan of a car can help find drugs or weapons being brought into the Capital Region. While the under-vehicle inspection system looks for traps or voids where anything could be taped or bolted in, the mobile vehicle inspection system takes it one step further.
Basically, it's an X-ray. And if you zoom in on the trunk portion, you can see the rifle that's laid across the bottom there.
With a warrant, a department can request a scan. Then, with a swing of an arm, gamma rays outline the car and its skeleton.
We scan the car, and we can give them images of areas that they might want to look at, and we'll identify anomalies for the law enforcement so they can check into the car further. That way, they don't have to rip the car totally apart. We can show them spots with points of interest where they might want to check to find something.
Schenectady Police Department, just one agency that is called in the Guard for help. In 2009, a driver was arrested. His car brought to the station and scanned after an officer smelled marijuana coming from the car. No drugs were found, but that traffic stop and scan part of an investigation against the suspect.
Our investigation continued on that individual for almost another year, and he eventually was taken into custody for drug trafficking charges. It's a great resource that we certainly don't have the money to afford, but it's a resource available to us at no cost, so it's a big help to us.
Counter drug also helps departments from the air. National Guard aircraft helping with observation, tracking, and finding illegal growing operations.
Which reminds me, I sure hear and see a hell of a lot of helicopters lately here in Portland, Oregon. But that's the drug war. Again, didn't Obama and Holder say at the very beginning they were going to stop prosecuting marijuana stuff? But then the states even kicked in even more with it? But there you go. They bring the drugs in, except in the case of marijuana, but that's a whole other story. Then they bust you for using them. We've already seen all the most recent admissions. Add that on to all the other things we know in the past about wars and drugs and Wall Street. And the money laundering, you know. Again, we went over that last week. Wells Fargo, Wachovia, money laundering, Mexican drug gangs, knowingly. But on down the news purge, let's get into geopolitics, and we'll hop over to Haaretz. Obama says Israel has the right to nuclear capability for deterrence purposes. Again, that oft-repeated line the Obama administration has revealed to the public during Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's visit to Washington, a series of understandings between the two countries on Israel's policy of nuclear ambiguity, which to date had been kept under wraps. So this was just July 7th, 2 days ago, Netanyahu, Shillery, at Blair House in Washington. U.S. Reel, perhaps? Tie in all the other things, and we always jokingly refer to Israel as the third rail in geopolitics, the I word. Don't say anything bad. You're a racist anti-Semite if you do. Saudi King says Israel and Iran don't deserve to exist. More on that from Ynet News. We also have a leaked Frank Luntz poll where we, of course, find out that the majority of the U.S. doesn't support the recent Israeli flotilla raid. But that doesn't stop our misleaders. And again, when you have organizations like AIPAC, with their spies and spooks and moles and lobbyists and all those shenanigans going on, doesn't matter what you think. So then the latest, this time on Press TV, U.S. gives secret guarantee to Israel. The U.S. has secretly given a written guarantee to Israel that obliges Washington to sell Israel nuclear fission materials. Israeli sources say the materials will be used to produce electricity, Israeli Army Radio, which is an official Israeli news source, reported. Washington has also vowed to publicly announce that Israel is a responsible entity and can contain its capabilities. We know Israel is the largest undeclared nuclear power in the Middle East. We give them billions of dollars. And so much of this all just kind of traces back to the Bible. It's in the Bible. We are connected at the hip. And we essentially seem destined to go down in flames in some sort of prophesied Armageddon. Because they all believe it's going to happen, so they're all actively working to make sure it's going to happen. They're going to make it happen on purpose. Or let it happen on purpose. Either way. But of course, in any discussion like this, we've always got to throw in the latest from everyone's favorite boogeyman du jour, Ahmadinejad. This is from the AFP. Ahmadinejad brands U.S. the world's dictator. This ahead of whatever latest geopolitical summit is coming up. And again, Israel, they can have tons of nukes. They can do whatever they want. Iran, they sign the NPT. They say they just want it for power, but no one believes them. When we get to all the latest on the oil spill, we find an interesting Iranian connection. And again, just go back and look up Operation Ajax. Overthrowing the democratically elected president of Iran, Mohammad Mossadegh, by the CIA. Classic early CIA coup. Infiltration, subversion, coercion, false flag, provocateur, payoff events. And they're all very proud of it now, because decades later they can come out and brag about it. But when we're talking about things right now, and when again we're just looking at the data, looking at the information, connecting the dots, but we're crazy conspiracy theorists. But of course, we'll be officially proven right decades from now when, of course, nobody will give a damn. We can't remember last week. And again, we only worry about LeBron James and bread and circuses. We also have the Queen. And again, all these stories interconnect. It's hard to lay it all out in a perfect flowing timeline because so many things are circular and connect back. But we, of course, had Queen Elizabeth Beast II. Came to Ground Zero, spoke at the UN. So we throw in a link here in Geopolitics from the Associated Press. Queen challenges the UN to lead in confronting dangers. And you'll recall last week the story of the Russian spies and the sexy spy. The latest on this that played out overnight. So we don't even have the latest updates for you posted up here on the News Purge, but we had the Cold War remix. They were calling it Spy Suspect Swap. Appeared to be in the works, and of course it was. The deported Russian spies pled guilty. They were immediately sent packing. More on that from NBCNewYork.com and from the Associated Press. I'm sure if we hop back on Google News, yes, we see 20 minutes ago from CNN International, U.S. and Russia complete spy swap at Vienna Airport. And again, these are the things, and without even having the time to get into all the intelligence connections behind the mighty Wurlitzer of popular media, but these are the things that we see play out all the time, and we watch them on movies, and we see it in the news, but somehow there's a disconnect. You somehow think it's all make-believe. Well, that wouldn't really happen. We've documented here for quite some time that art imitates life, imitates politics, imitates loop. But even more. From the Washington Times, they call it Inside the Ring. And who's inside the ring? What's the ring? Well, that would be Russia flying strategic nuclear bombers near U.S. and Canadian airspace. We really are having a 80s flashback. But if we get more on Russia from the economiccollapseblog.com, the Russian bear awakens. Today, most Americans consider the U.S. to be the sole remaining superpower, absolutely unparalleled economically and militarily. But the truth is, not anything close to that. As detailed previously, China has become very dominant economic and military superpower, but there is another world superpower that the American people and the American media are not taking seriously. The Russian bear has awakened, and yet most people in the U.S. think of Russia as a Cold War opponent that we defeated, and which is now a shell of its former self. The recent Russian spy case is a perfect example of the tremendous lack of respect with which the American public has for Russia these days. It's almost as if the media is saying, oh look, isn't it cute that these little Russians are spying on us, as if the Cold War was still going on. But the truth is that it's a massive error to underestimate Russia. Today it is a fact that Russia is stronger both economically and militarily than it has ever been before. If you doubt this, quick, name the number one oil producer in the world. Here's a hint, it ain't Saudi Arabia. It's Russia. Russia has also recently become the number one oil exporter in the world. Not only that, but Russia is also the number one exporter of natural gas in the world. A world that's starving for oil in some parts, starving for natural resources in some parts, drowning in the oil, in the destroyed resources again by the multinational international corporations that pledge no allegiance to any flag or country or county line or any of that. Far beyond that. Far up the pyramid, if you will. We're all the dummies here at the bottom. Basically, in a world, in this kind of situation, this pretty much sets up Russia, putting them in a pretty strong position. And this is something, again, we've touched on throughout the years on MediaMonarchy.com. Again, just putting it together, looking at things like the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, the SCO, China and Russia, and Iran. Unfortunately, it almost seems as though we're on the course for some type of, well, Ahmadinejad says we're the world's dictator. But at this point, do we have clay feet? At this point, are we going to overreach and overflex and overextend and things get so bad that then perhaps a world body will have to step in and say, you guys are just falling apart, things have gone rogue, you've got crazy border wars and drug wars going on that you don't seem to want to stop, you're integrating the nations, yet things are falling apart at a more rapid clip. But the last note on the geopolitical situation, Ukraine and NATO holding joint military exercises, as we always note with the terror drills and military exercises and war games, they're always basically the pretense for any kind of catalyzing, catastrophic, false flag, war provocateuring event, as all wars, based on deception. Remember the Maine, Gulf of Tonkin, Reichstag fire, 9/11, Lusitania, Pearl Harbor. Is that most of them? I think so. As I deal with the spinning beach ball of death, again, as it's hot and the equipment wilts under the weight of the massive news that we go over for you here, I added in a new subheading because I found a lot of stories that I was always not sure what to put them in. So, taking a cue from Reverend Billy, RevBilly.com. Again, check out our interview archives. We interviewed Reverend Billy back in April. Holy hexes. I needed a spot to put in all the bizarre, occult, religious, Vatican, all that kind of stuff. So, the way we're going to kick it off with holy hexes, and we just have two for the time being, and we're grabbing them from Raw Story and Red Ice. If you can believe it, and this did get picked up by some other places, Huffington Post, to die for, a cult jam made from Princess Diana's hair. That's right. Small bits of Princess Diana's hair put into some occult jelly that's being sold expensively through some art gallery. Red flag, red flag, red flag. You can click through and see the entries through RedIceCreations.com. Our other holy hex story, Connecticut priest stole $1 million to pay for male escorts, of course. And now, unfortunately, we'll shift into the murder and the mayhem. We've called it the mass murder contagion. Lauren Coleman calls it the copycat effect. Twilight language, clustering. Call it what you want. Things fall apart. Things accelerate. Arrest made in Los Angeles, grim sleeper serial killings. Police arrested a man in LA's grim sleeper serial killings Wednesday after decades of frustrated investigations into at least 11 slayings dating back 25 years. LA County DA Steve Cooley said Lonnie Franklin Jr. will be charged with 10 counts of murder, one count of attempted murder, and special circumstance allegations that could make him eligible for the death penalty if convicted. Franklin's age was unclear, with different agencies saying he's 51, some saying he's 57. Today's a good day. Donnell Alexander, the brother of victim Monique Alexander, said as he watched police activity outside the South LA house where the arrest was made. Detectives have spent years probing the slayings between 1985 and 2007, in which the killer targeted young black women and one man. The killer was dubbed the Grim Sleeper because he apparently took a 14-year hiatus in his crimes. Dozens of police officials closed off a block around the 81st Street house where the arrest was made. Neighbors described the man who lived there as friendly and quiet. Sinister forces, my friends. Abducted 4-year-old Missouri girl was fortunately found alive. The person of interest killed himself. More on that from Wiki News. And lastly, a story I believe we've touched on periodically, again from Raw Story. Attacks on census workers nearly triple since the last time, 10 years ago in 2000. And our last two subs on the massive news purge, Obamasiah and the war whores, quickly. We, of course, now have the Obama administration, I believe, filing suit against Arizona for their immigration law. We now have the federal government siding with a foreign government against a state. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure the Arizona law pretty much kind of mirrors what the federal law is supposed to be. Again, much like everything, this ties into a larger agenda. We get to bicker and bitch and fight and tear each other apart. The plebs down on the bottom, not realizing, not looking up, not figuring out the shadows on the wall and the bread and the circuses and the distractions. Put quite simply, the multi-generational serial killers and their organizations have their long-term plan. And one of those pieces that we've discerned is the crippling of the U.S., pulling the rug out from under it. And that's what happens when the central banksters get involved. We just had 4th of July. You got to know that pretty much, you know, they sell it on all we wanted religious freedom because we're, you know, we're a Christian nation. It always comes back to the banksters. That's what the fights seemingly throughout human history have always been. Multi-generational serial killers want to get control of the money supply. And they want fiat currency. They want to loan it out 10 times the amount they have in reserve. Fractional reserve banking. You give them a dollar, they can loan out 10. It's all a Ponzi scheme, zeros and ones. Rigged game. And that's the story throughout history. It is part of the agenda to cripple the United States, morph us into some sort of North American community, as the Council on Foreign Relations likes to call it, with the Security and Prosperity Partnership, and the integration, and the trade, and the highways, and the grid, all those things. There's a larger agenda at work. Obama bypasses Senate. Again, this time for a new Medicare chief. We've got stuff from ABC News and the Associated Press. Obama makes recess appointment of a CMS administrator who's supposedly an expert on healthcare rationing. Didn't have time to find the flashbacks. I don't know how many times we've had already the Obama-siah bypassing Congress and just appointing people. Again, one side's in, the other side's out. When your team's in, you go to sleep. Then the other team suddenly thinks, oh my God, all this egregious, unconstitutional garbage just started in January 09. Like, it just started then, magically. With some mysterious guy who has different names and who seems to have been shepherded every step of the way by Brzezinski and the Rothschilds, and the multi-generational serial killers. We also make a note of Big Mouth Biden making a surprise trip to Iraq for the 4th of July. He's there to support our troops in our mission in Iraq to make sure the... we have to secure the... Well, you know, there was the... Exactly. These are wars based on lies that, again, when it was Bush doing it, you could see it. It was plain as day. It was arrogant, and it was in your face, and it was ham-fisted, and it was stupid and ugly and bloody. Now it's still going on, but it's got a different face. Obama's a nice guy. But quickly, let's wrap up this news purge. And it segues quite nicely into the war horrors. Obama also now selects a general who likes killing Muslims. He's now been moved to CENTCOM. So we've got more on that from InfoWars and from DODBuzz.com. Gates sends Mattis to CENTCOM. Mattis was, of course, quoted a couple of years ago saying that killing Muslims is, I believe, quote, a heck of a lot of fun. We also have Osama's chef pleading guilty at the military tribunal at Guantanamo Bay. Remember, we're performing military tribunals. And the last war horse note on this 7-8 news purge, walk tall, U.S. warships cause anger in Costa Rica. Anger. Whether it's Costa Rica or Okinawa, we see protests building worldwide. And again, just as the article that we were talking about, the Russian bear awakening, I think people still have it in their jingoistic rah-rah-rah LeBron James bread and circus heads that we're invincible. That because we got the guns, nobody's going to push us around. We're America. We are broke. Every situation is essentially a tinderbox looking for a spark, a powder keg, waiting to go off. Every situation just needs, again, some catalyzing, catastrophic event that, again, will flash forward the agenda that's being worked on by multi-generational serial killers, the families, the bloodlines, Fabian socialism, and all the little subgroups. And we should also know, we don't necessarily subscribe to the sort of unified field conspiracy theory. It's not the Jews that run everything. It's not the Catholics and the Jesuits that run everything. They're gangsters, and sometimes they argue and bump each other off. But they're not going to do anything that causes their whole game to be up. You guys have heard me. Long-time listeners, you've heard me discuss much of this before. And again, I hope the repetition seemingly doesn't start to wear you down. Because perhaps it starts to wear me down. And I think the show, again, throughout the years, has been a fairly fluid production that kind of expands and contracts and morphs and grows and shrinks and takes a break and then makes a big jump as an organic thing. Again, always figuring out, I suppose, the most efficient way, the most effective way to get this kind of information across to folks. Perhaps my born and raised West Virginia folksy demeanor gives me a better angle in talking with folks on a more one-on-one level. And I kind of feel like when I'm doing this, it's kind of one-on-one. They say, you know, when you're doing public speaking or even on the radio, you know, well, don't think of how many people you may really be talking to. Just imagine you're talking to a handful of friends. And hopefully that's what we're doing. And at this rate, my friends will never get through the amount of news. But again, it's fluid. I don't want to force it. We want to discuss things and ruminate on things. And also not necessarily freak out about everything. Yes, these things can keep you awake at night. But now, having said that, let's get to police state updates. Seeing something and saying something. We, of course, posted up one of the posters from New York. Last year, 1,944 New Yorkers saw something and said something. Again, Al-Qaeda's under every bus bench. Making a police state out of the Empire State. This takes us back to New York. This takes us back to the National Guard. This takes us back to our story about using the gamma rays to fight crime and fight drugs, scanning for chemicals and terror and crime and anything they want, the military performing law enforcement duties. Maybe it's not called the Empire State for nothing. New York City subway bomb plot linked to British Al-Qaeda cell, feds say. More on that from Fox News. And from Sky News. It's all from the same handful of multinational corporations. Three Al-Qaeda suspects arrested in Norway over connections to a New York City subway / UK terror plot. How long will it be before we find out these guys were low-level dummies who were funded and provocateured and infiltrated by some sort of intelligence agency who was giving them guns, who was giving them equipment, who was putting them on camera saying, yeah, we're going to do this stuff. I always got to remember that quote from one of just the mass amounts of ridiculous, phony, trumped-up terror busts. They're always more aspirational than operational. G20 investigation goes high tech. That's right, the G20 is over. However, that doesn't mean the man isn't using biometrics. That's facial recognition technology, whether that's retina scans or any of the others that tie in to this smart grid international business machine minority report, brave new world order, call it what you want, that's now right all coming down, being announced, going online, if you will. G20 investigation goes high tech, biometrics will find protesters. More on that from the Toronto Sun. In Pennsylvania, swipe, smile, blow. Pennsylvania now gets wine vending machines, and all you have to do is give it your credit card, give it a photo that will be stored biometrically, and blow into the breathalyzer, and you can get some hooch. Mothers Against Drunk Driving want those in every car, whether you've been a drunk or not. And again, Minority Report, this is all about pre-crime. You are guilty. You are guilty, 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 until possibly proven innocent. And remember, we always point out, what does it say? Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. There is internet journalism, exclusive video of military doing patrols in Panama City. We've also got a new UK surveillance system that monitors conversations. More on that from The Telegraph, and we do go over that on the most recent episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. Scotland allows collection of children's DNA. As we've seen, none of these stories are exclusive to the locales we're mentioning them. Scotland allows collection of children's DNA. It's also going on in Texas. It's also going on in Australia. Now, here's one for you. Again, always watching for the red flags. Not trying to always say, oh, this is it. Oh, it's going to go down. This thing's going to happen. But connecting the dots and noticing red flags that seem to mirror previous red flags that preceded catalyzing catastrophic events. Airline loses luggage of Israeli security detail. 4 guns missing. Netanyahu was in town talking about, of course, all the nuclear fission material and billions in latitude we're giving Israel. Losing guns. Oh, where will they turn up? Polish troops in Chicago as part of Vigilant Guard. They're training to take on insurgents, domestic terrorism, or as we, I believe, have coined the phrase homegrown errorism. And that's what we're going to see all around. You're going to see it everywhere. Polish troops in Chicago, Illinois, as part of Vigilant Guard terror drills, training to take on domestic terrorism. One slightly good note, and again, another story that we hit on the most recent New World Next Week, body scanners won't be in Dubai airports. That would be the naked body scanners that take and store photos of your naked body. We've already seen them used and abused. They also scramble your DNA. So Dubai's not going to use them as a violation of Islam, but they're just going to use biometrics instead. And you can see that a lot of times when we get all wiggy about some certain situation, now whether that's RFID chips and things like that, worried about them being in our IDs, much less under our skin, they may bypass that altogether and just put in the biometrics grid.
Now we're off course.
Our last note here on police state updates, seeing something and saying something. This is another good note by way of 911blogger.com. On I-75 near the Georgia and Florida border, there's a big, massive billboard that says Google Bohemian Grove. Google Building 7. I believe it is then tied in with a religious message. But again, you got to hit your audience in the most pertinent ways. Whether you're a Christian or not, everybody's welcome here. We've discussed my conservative Southern Baptist Christian upbringings here before. But if anything, Bible-believing Christians should be fighting back and resisting even more the things that are going on. Unfortunately, it's all going to get tied in with, oh, it's against Obama, it's against the socialism and all those things. Again, it's going to get turned into the ridiculous left-right paradigm. We should now take a moment and tell you that we are into our number two of the 177th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. It's July 9th, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I am your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com. And in a little bit, we're going to get to FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. And as always, we are broadcasting live from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And of course, thanks to our fine list of affiliates who share and spread and syndicate Media Monarchy. Which actually reminds me of something I meant to mention at the top of the show. And that is one of our affiliates, one of our best affiliates, ZeroPointRadio.com. They need your support. They need some donations. If you'll recall, a few months ago, you gave donations to MediaMonarchy.com as part of a fundraiser to help run the site, tied in with the DVD from TragedyAndHope.com. ZeroPointRadio.com need your help to stay on the air, quite simply. And again, whether it's Media Monarchy or Clyde Lewis or Corbett Report or Alex Ansari or any of the alternative media that you find useful and important, that you gain something from, throw a few bucks to help keep it going. Again, like we were talking about, as things are going to kind of shake out here, we don't really know the way things are going to look in a new financial world order, essentially. Most of the arts and communications are going to have to go back down to a sort of grassroots or netroots, if you will, level. And so it becomes even more important to support independent media outlets that you find valuable. ZeroPointRadio.com. Now we're going to get to, I said we'd do it. We've got to get to all the latest BioWars and EnviroHealth on the Gulf oil spill and so much more. Cover-up, chemtrails, and corporatocracy. The BP-DHS cover-up of Gulf oil spill goes Orwellian. We also, this would be the third story we covered on the most recent episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. They said one thing. You could talk to people. You could take photos. Now you can't. Now people are getting arrested. A ProPublica.org reporter arrested for photographing on a public road. BP, DHS, in collusion. There's so many things here, and again, these would be episodes unto itself to go into each week, all the more ridiculous details. And again, the Gulf oil spill looks and smells a whole hell of a lot more as the days and weeks and months go by that remind us of Katrina and 9/11. Gulf Coast, now a BP police state, as law enforcement conspires with BP to intimidate journalists. More on that from naturalnews.com. From MSNBC, photographer detained by police and BP employee near refinery. And even Glenn Greenwald on salon.com, calling it quite simply, as he always does, quite effectively, BP government police state. Something we've meant to mention as a warning to all Gulf volunteers and as a reminder to everyone else, almost every cleanup worker from the 1989 Exxon Valdez disaster is dead. The connections, again, that we said to 9/11, the air safe to breathe, first responders, oh, you don't need any safety gear. Mandatory evacuations being planned for Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida. We've touched on this. We've already had recently an oily insider and Council on Foreign Relations minion, Matthew Simmons, talk about evacuations being planned. And yet BP remains key Pentagon oil supplier. More on that from the AFP. U.S. to take more control of spill response website. That would be complete control. Homeland Security taking over the duties of the outlet that's supposed to tell everybody everything. Thousands already evacuated in Texas and Mexico as the storm approaches. More on that from the Telegraph. Oh, yes. And they have a video.
Thousands of people evacuated from their homes in northeastern Mexico. The floods are simply destroying houses. Part nature, but some of this is caused by man. In order to stop further devastation, parts of the country are being flooded on purpose for what officials say is the greater good. They fear that one of the biggest dams, Venustiano Carranza, might overflow and engulf the surrounding area. Floodgates have been opened to try and ease the load, but that is causing more flooding. Elsewhere, two bridges to the US have been shut as police try and usher people to higher ground. Some government workers were surveying the damage to the country. Their plane crashed. 8 died. Many more people's lives are at risk. Police urging residents to leave their homes. But is this the last time that they'll see them? Some streets are empty except for the water. Another storm is on its way.
Jesus. Oil industry gains billions of dollars in government subsidies. We also have BP now dumping oil waste in Gulf landfills. More on that from allgov.com, as well as Raw Story. And then, around the other side of the world, Chinese to begin international deep sea mining. But then right back here, from foodsafetynews.com, Gulf Seafood's future remains unknown. But to take it to the level that everyone can understand, hundreds of fishermen missing their checks from British Petroleum.
Hundreds of fishermen from Lake Charles to Moss Point, Mississippi, were supposed to get checks today from BP. They did not, and tonight their lawyer wants answers.
Jeffrey Bright represents more than 500 fishermen, and he says the payment system he set up with BP required his clients be paid every 30 days. But now that process has suddenly changed, and without warning.
Well, not only do they spring it on us that the process has changed, the people that I've been dealing with for 6 weeks who've done a good job said, we don't know what the process is going to be. We're not authorized to talk to you about it. Someone from BP will contact you.
But Bright hasn't heard from BP or its lawyers. He says the claims people have been given so much conflicting information about the process that they can't provide answers.
They couldn't tell me. And I said, I've got 500 people I'm meeting on Saturday. They want to know what the process is.
And this isn't the first time BP has been down the road of conflicting information. On June 11th, BP security contractor tried to keep us from speaking to cleanup workers, despite the fact that BP released a statement 2 days earlier saying the workers could speak to the media. And back on May 14th, frustration in St. Bernard. Local fishermen were upset with low pay and out-of-towners taking their work.
The unfortunate problem is that these people don't have weeks of paychecks stored up in their drawers to say, okay, I'll just reach into my savings.
The lawyer, Jeffrey Bright, is meeting with some fishermen from Moss Point in the morning and more on Saturday in Jennings. Bright says BP hasn't given him any indication when those payments will resume.
So that's all the latest Gulf oil spill updates now in, what, week 9? But the other half of our BioWars EnviroHealth updates on the chemtrails and cover-ups and corporatocracy, a follow-up on something we hit last week, this time from Paul Joseph Watson. Scientists admit chemtrails are creating artificial clouds. Scientists now admit that emissions from aircraft are forming artificial clouds that block out the sun, precisely what geoengineering advocates like top eugenicist and White House science advisor John P. Holdren have called for. But the article that we mentioned last week, written by Oliver Tree in the Daily Mail, tries to insinuate that the effect is caused by natural vapors, when in reality it can be attributed to chemtrails that contain substances harmful to humans. Now, I said we'd return to Shasta County, and here we are with a full video that you can check out on the Shasta County chemtrail or geoengineering contamination cover-up.
Hey, hi. Ross?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike Murphy.
Hi, Mike.
I'm in town. I'm a filmmaker from Los Angeles, and we're covering an issue called geoengineering. So we're coming in and talking to a lot of people. Apparently, a lot of people have been finding heavy amounts of aluminum and barium in their soil. Any knowledge of that?
What?
People have been reporting to this board findings of aluminum and barium.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
The Air Board.
So essentially, why we're here? There's a growing concern
the
that
the Air Board met a year ago. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago.
Now there's mass contamination. What's been done about that?
Now the Air Board met a couple of years ago.
Okay. So nobody has reported this contamination
to
this office?
They reported it to the Air Board.
Okay.
What did they say?
They said they'd forward the emissions, the reports to the U.S. EPA and the Air Resources.
So you have not been made aware of any large amounts of barium aluminum?
I've been told found these reports that they see it in rainwater.
Mm-hmm.
They can see it in the soil.
So what's being done about this? Aluminum is very toxic.
Aluminum is the most common metal in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere.
But not in free form, and apparently it's been reported to the office in free form. And I think the concern is, at least what people are telling Paul and myself, is that ecosystems might be dying off for this. People are seeing an increase in Alzheimer's. And what we're hearing, and we just want to set the record straight, we're hearing that nothing is being done. So we want to know why. Are the people that are reporting this to us, are they incorrect? Or
what? We've noted for a long time that when you say chemtrails, people think you're nuts. The term, the phrase that pays from the CFR to your local corporate connected government press release reading news outlet, geoengineering. They are putting barium and aluminum into the atmosphere. Is it just for eugenics? Is it to make us sick? Is it to do with global warming? Is it to seed the skies so they can put up a massive Operation Bluebeam PSYOP and project the Messiah in the sky like a world of worlds? I don't know. Quickly now, down the rest of our EnviroHealth updates, and this is key. From naturalnews.com, this connects to almost everything that we talk about. If you really want to, you know, one, be the change you see in the world, which, of course, yes. But if you want to end the wars, if you want to rend the ridiculous greenwashing and corporatocracy that's going on, and again, we always see the people that cause the problems position themselves to act as our saviors. What did I see? Washington, you know. You may not like the problems we've caused, but wait till you see our solution. World's top firms cause $2.2 trillion in environmental damage. That's the international war machine. That's the thing that's running on the terror juice. That's the thing that's polluting the world. With depleted uranium and white phosphorus and all the rest of it. We are anti-war. We are pro 9/11 truth now more than ever. People need to connect with 9/11 truth on some level, as it's seemingly really the only viable way to bring an end to these wars of aggression based on lies during that previous puppet administration. Wyeth used ghostwriters to place over 40 scientific articles in medical journals. Doctor treating pregnant women with an experimental drug to help prevent lesbianism. Researchers create self-assembling nano devices that move and change shape on demand. Congress called on to create national biosurveillance capability. Mysterious outbreak among Syrian army. Anthrax hoaxes on the rise. When the CFLs break, you better practice your mercury escape plan when our new federally mandated bulbs bust all over us. Oh, and analysts say the World Health Organization had communication errors, and that's what spurred their false pandemic charges. More on that from VaccineNewsDaily.com. And we all know, swine flu may not be gone. It may be morphing and changing, as again, most of the things we've seen point us to the fact that a lot of these bioweapons are created by the intelligence industrial complex. Then they're somehow accidentally unleashed, whether it's some crazy rogue scientist Ivans or Amy Bishop, or gets out during a drill. They're the ones who create the shit. They stand to profit. So whether that's Michael Chertoff running around fear-mongering because he owns stock in naked body scanners, or all the folks connected to the World Health Organization and Big Pharma that, again, stand to gain. Problem, reaction, solution. They cause the problem to generate the reaction, which, of course, the real action is in the reaction, and then they can give you the solution they already had sitting on the shelf, like the Patriot Act, waiting for it. Oh, and the Climate Gate whitewash is now complete. The third inquiry clears everybody involved. ClimateGate.tv. And as we always say, even if you believe in man-made global warming, what are paying carbon indulgences to Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, the Rothschilds, Al Gore, and the rest going to do? The last two notes. Updates. U.S. scientists discover antibodies that neutralize 90% of known HIV strains. That's from Raw Story. And millions chronically exposed to arsenic in the water. Suppose we could have put that on foodworldorder.com, but here it is from Food Safety News, and that is the rest of our BioWars Enviro Health updates. We've now been adding in the previous link over the past couple of months, so you can go back through step by step and see all the dastardly things going on in the Gulf and all around. We now want to get into the latest new financial world order situations, the econo crash, if you will. USA Today says expect 400,000 government layoffs at state and local level, where someone from Wells Fargo, who we noted last week, in connection with Wachovia were laundering drug money, knowingly, as they've all been busted one time or another. But an economist from Wells Fargo says, quote, the downturn has gone on so long, all the low-hanging fruit has been taken. But at the bottom, USA Today notes that among the cuts planned and made are some stories that we've already referenced for you in the previous weeks on MediaMonarchy.com. New York City planning 4,500 layoffs. Washington State would have to chop 6,000 jobs without Medicaid money. And the city of Maywood, California, laid off all 68 of its employees on July 1st and is contracting out police services. Fired everybody, now gone completely contractor. So whether that's private military contractors, BP, Hiring Z, they're all a nice big cozy family. Sometimes you get a sweet plum administration, cabinet advisor, czar position, but you know, that can't always last forever, 4 or 8 years tops, and then you go back to your private sector job. The other related econo crash notes. An analyst, and in a way this diminishes it and makes it sound a little silly, but fractals are neat, but an analyst using fractals and many, many, many other data bits predicts a market crash of, quote, staggering proportions. More on that from technocult.net. Treasury Department operative gave billions to Goldman while owning Goldman stocks. Paul Krugman, everybody's, you know, economist that we all supposedly should listen to, had a op-ed about myths. But USAWatchdog.com gets into some of the myths that Krugman doesn't want to talk about. But our last note here on the econo crash, we return to CNBC, and as we've noticed and noted time and time again, MSNBC now sort of being the fox for the new phony progressive administration, carrying the torch, bloviating, giving the talking points. But over on CNBC, they had a guest who had the nerve to say that the stock market would probably pretty much completely collapse if it weren't for the plunge protection team.
We've got assets in the economy there that haven't really factored in liabilities. I think you could say that in the oil and gas industry. I think we could certainly say it in the banking sector. And unless the plunge protection team comes in over the next couple of days, the markets are looking very dicey here. You know, we broke critical support. The banks, all of them broke critical support on a weekly basis last week. The volume yesterday on a technical basis was not all that strong. And the trend, the trade of the declining real estate prices and the lack of liquidity that's available to consumers to, quote, consume, which is the access to credit, debt, is not present. The only thing that they have access to access credit to consume and to be addictive consumers, which we are their stock portfolios. They can't sell the real estate and they can't tap the equity in their homes.
Now, wait a minute, Damon. Now, you said the plunge protection seemed like it was a fact when we know that's kind of like that's
a joke. He was making a joke,
you're
right?
Were you making a joke? Because we have some people that come
absolutely not. It's common knowledge that the government steps in and does things to step on the gas, if you will, on the market on the buy side.
You're saying the government buys S&P
what is buying
futures?
Fannie Mae and Citi?
No,
Citi?
I know.
Is that
I know.
Not the same
but
thing?
That's different. That, the conspiracy theory is that the government actually comes in and buys S&P futures when the market's weak. Is that, you're an adherent to that theory?
I don't think it's totally out of the realm of possibility. I mean, they're out there buying Citicorp and Fannie Mae and Freddie and shoring up the economy when the economy is weak. Why wouldn't they be active in the S&P futures?
I
don't believe it.
Yeah, I think there'd be a way of finding that out. I see it all the time on some of the squirreliest, craziest websites. They're pretty ineffective.
I know this isn't the X-Files.
They were pretty ineffective on the day we went down 900
points. That might be the proof that the government is involved.
Yeah, well,
maybe they brought it back. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So, Damon, your position is this is a phony rally, right? We should be selling into it.
Oh, well, that sure stopped everybody, didn't it? Maybe that's proof that they really are behind it. And again, those crazy conspiracy theory sites, like, what's that one? It's the New York Times. Yeah, I think they wrote about the Plunge Protection Team, or as it is known, the President's Working Group on Financial Markets. We now come to the fifth anniversary of the 7/7 bombings in London. We're running out of time, and we still have so much to cram into this jam-packed 177th episode of Media Monarchy. But from Empty Hell, emtyhell.blogspot.com, 7/7 London bombings, 5 years on. And do I even really have time to get into all of this for you? July 7th, 2005. The London bombings. There were drills going on, just like on 9/11, of the exact same things happening at the exact same time. But, of course, let's set the stage, really. We had the Queen. Queen Elizabeth II visited Ground Zero, laid a wreath, returning to, of course, the scene of the crime, and she also addressed the United Nations for the first time since 1957. Is it possible for a reigning monarch to commit treason? Because some would argue that just by associating with the globalist crooks, she is. So I guess she's returning to the UK now, and she held another garden party or something like she did on last year's 7/7. But considering the media hype surrounding the fifth anniversary of 9/11, the fifth anniversary of 7/7 doesn't seem to have attracted much attention, and I guess the reason is that they're not giving it much attention is because they don't want people to look into it. It is, after all, one of the most suspicious terror attacks in recent history. Unfortunately, however, much to the frustration of 7/7 researchers, there isn't really much evidence or enough evidence to prove anything, unlike, say, 9/11, which has been scientifically proven to be a fraud, or the recent Flight 253 Christmas underpants bomber, which was expertly exposed as a false flag event by Detroit attorney Kurt Haskell, who saw it all on the plane. But there are numerous coincidences, anomalies, and unanswered questions that, when put into context, point towards government involvement in 7/7. We have linked up a documentary called 7/7, The Big Picture, 5 years on. We don't have time for clips from this, but we'll tie in our couple of 9/11 updates, where we'll note from the33tv.com, like a war zone. Some New York City residents living behind barricades and checkpoints 9 years after 9/11. Mission accomplished. We also have from Disquiet Reservations, Rethinking 9/11, a letter to peace activists, just like I said to you before. Anti-war peace activists now more than ever should be involved in 9/11 truth, because it's the main key that takes false flag terrorism and smashes it as one of the favorite tools of the elites and their intelligence networks and rogue governments and patsies and double and triple agents and moles and all of those things. And again, when we say the government, the CIA, my aunt that works at the IRS isn't in on it. There are rogue elements within. And that's been documented. Deep politics. We also have one from 911blogger.com. Restrepo, War, and the Washington Post, reflections of a vociferous conspiracy theorist. But as I said, we're tying in 7/7 with 9/11, with the Queen. The Queen appearing before the United Nations. Oh, here it is.
New challenges have also emerged, which have tested this organization as much as its member states. One such is the struggle against terrorism. Another challenge is climate change, where careful account must be taken of the risks faced by smaller, more vulnerable nations, many of them from the Commonwealth. Mr. President, I started by talking about leadership. I have much admiration for those who have the talent to lead. particularly in public service and in diplomatic life. And I congratulate you, your colleagues, and your predecessors on your many achievements. It has perhaps always been the case that the waging of peace is the hardest form of leadership of all.
Ah, the Queen. She will leave behind quite the legacy of waving. And because I want to take a quick break, and because I've been on a quick, long, short Queen kick, Stone Cold Crazy. I feel better now. I don't know about you. Queen, Stone Cold Crazy, from sheer heart attack, 74, I think, off the top of my head. This all segues us nicely to Lady Gaga, the New World Order, and the Babylon System. Amazingly, my friends, from The Guardian, an article called Lady Gaga and the New World Order. You might think that by now you've read more than enough online exegesis of Lady Gaga's videos, but you haven't even scratched the surface until you've read the work of the Vigilant Citizen, vigilantcitizen.com. This anonymous Canadian blogger explained last year's paparazzi video with reference to the CIA's MK-Ultra mind control program, Fritz Lang's Metropolis, the Eye of Horus, and the goat god Baphomet, concluding that Gaga was indubitably an Illuminati puppet. The Bad Romance video apparently offers a chilling description of a music industry ruled by the elite. And in the latest video, Alejandro, she flashes in her fans' faces the symbols of their own oppression. We have a tie-in with this. A video over on Yahoo worries about the circle contacts trend coming from Lady Gaga that ties in with wanting to look like an anime character. But Paul Joseph Watson puts it into perspective. Popular music is the Babylon system. It's never been more apparent to those who have awakened from the slumber imposed upon them by popular culture that the establishment music industry now pumps out the most dumbed-down, monotonous garbage, which actually serves to induce depression and despair in those who are enlightened and aware, while providing hypnotizing bread and circuses for those still transfixed by the Babylon system. A London Guardian report entitled Lady Gaga and the New World Order gives serious credence to a website that not only discusses how popular music is used to keep people downtrodden and distracted, but how it's replete with messages and symbolism bragging about how the elite are using entertainment to keep the masses enslaved. There are multiple different takes on that. Brett Gary of brettgary.co.uk has an article about this, saying it's not an Illuminati plot. It just goes to show that our tastes have now hit complete bottom of the barrel, lowest common denominator. We have other related media meme updates. And again, as we talk about media monarchy slowly morphing and fluidly changing and expanding and contracting, media and pop culture is where a lot of my interests lie. So again, don't be surprised if we start to go more in that direction in the not-too-distant future. Jarvis Cocker of one of my favorite bands, Pulp, in an article in The Guardian, backs independence in the battle of music labels, kind of echoing what we hit Tom York with a couple of weeks ago, him saying corporate music industry is completely dead and they'll be gone in 6 months. A little bit hopeful, but important nonetheless. An interesting one by way of Red Ice Creations, but I think it sources right back to Time Magazine. You think you're operating on free will? Think again. And on around the media meme sphere, inside the U.S. NATO military-industrial media empire, more on that from NH Insider. So whether that's the war or whether that's the Gulf oil spill, the mighty Wurlitzer. Wasn't it said that the CIA owns anyone of any consequence in the media? I don't know if this is a hopeful note or not. McClatchy has a poll. 63% of U.S. adults tuning out the World Cup. So the hopeful side of me would think that, oh yeah, they're not paying attention to the bread and circus. They're realizing, getting more motivated on what's really important. But I think it just connects to Americans don't give a shit about soccer. We want LeBron James in sports. We want some manly sports. Lindsay Lohan, and of course we connected her back to the kombucha freakout recently. More on that on foodworldorder.com. But at her sentencing recently, I guess taking a page out of what, from Raiders of the Lost Ark, where the girl wrote love you on her eyelids, Lindsay Lohan took the other tack and wrote fuck you on her fingernails. But more, much more importantly, campaign launched against the Comcast NBC deal. More on that from Raw Story. And a great little YouTube blast from the InfoWars team. As the U.S. pretty much completely collapses, everybody's going crazy and obsessed with LeBron James. And where will our favorite pituitary case go to? Now, before we get to the aforementioned Food World Order and Cyberspace Wars, we're in our last 20 minutes here. Let's quickly blast through some of the other alternative media. Like I said, our latest episode of The New World Next Week, No First Amendment, UK Surveillance, Hello Dubai, is available thanks to CorbettReport.com, YouTube.com/CorbettReport, and we're now still, we've launched it, we're tinkering with it, NewWorldNextWeek.com. I guess I'll go ahead and apologize here for kind of forcing Corbett's hand on that. We've been working on it behind the scenes, and I couldn't keep my big mouth shut, and I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. So now there it is, and it's out there for you. NewWorldNextWeek.com. We also have the latest episode from CorbettReport.com. The Allegory of the Curtain. So whether we're talking about The Wizard of Oz or Bohemian Grove, there is a curtain. There are organizations behind the curtain. Do you want to know what's going behind the curtain? Do you even care? Episode 136, CorbettReport.com, The Allegory of the Curtain. He also has new interviews with Nick Wright on G20, Dan Dix, of course, the Sunday Update series, CorbettReport.com, one of the best alternative media open source intelligence news sites out there, hands down. My man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. And again, you can get the archives, the recent archives of the live show on KUFO here in Portland, Oregon, thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com. And again, we implore you to support ZeroPointRadio.com. Clyde Lewis's latest episode, One Nation Under Guard, featuring guest Adam Kokesh, who is not only an active anti-war veteran in the Iraq Veterans Against the War, he is also running for Congress. Really interesting episode, really a well-spoken guy. And again, ZeroPointRadio.com has the archives for you. And as long as we're in Portland, my man Spencer of ChicagoCopWatch.org sent me this story about PortlandCopWatch.org. It even got picked up by our own local KGW.com. Portland CopWatch releases analysis, a mixed bag of useful and buried information. I have been remiss in not reaching out to Portland CopWatch, and again, we're trying to make connections. Slowly but surely. Let's now jump over to cyberspacewar.com for all the latest attacks on our inner space and outer space. We'll hit the DEFCON 7-8 first. Perfect Citizen meets Big Brother. A lot of articles all swirling around the latest story, and we've got everything from the great new activistpost.com. Look, hopefully, for an interview with some of those folks, activistpost.com, coming soon on Media Monarchy. But we've got Threat Level and Computer World and The Wall Street Journal and Raw Story. NSA creating a spy system to monitor domestic infrastructure. Our friends, private military contractors, Raytheon, one of their internal emails came out. The people building the system have called it Big Brother. The NSA has begun work on an expansive spy system that will monitor critical infrastructure. And again, that phrase is written into the Patriot Act. If you do anything that endangers critical infrastructure, you are a terrorist. All crime is terror. Section 802 of the Patriot Act. The NSA has begun work on an expansive spy system that will monitor critical infrastructure inside the U.S. for cyber attacks, in a move that detractors say could end up violating privacy rights and expanding the NSA's domestic spying abilities, or NSA-TNT, if you like. So a lot of this going back to Rupert Murdoch's Wall Street Journal, citing unnamed sources as saying the NSA has issued a $100 million contract to Raytheon to build a system dubbed Perfect Citizen, which will involve placing sensors at critical points in the computer networks of public and private organizations that run infrastructure organizations such as nuclear power plants and electric grid operators. Oh, so once the feds get involved, what could possibly go wrong? They scare us in fearmonger and threataganda about, oh, the attacks to the grid. But what are they doing? They only want to integrate us more into the grid, thanks to International Business Machines, the final solutions company. Again, they create the problems. They create the bugs, whether those are cyber bugs or bio bugs. The result is the same. So from Computer World, it's U.S. building system to detect cyber attacks. From the Wall Street Journal, it's U.S. plans cyber shield to detect cyber attacks on infrastructure. And an update from ComputerWorld.com, NSA says Perfect Citizen is a research program. But we know that NSA is going to spy on critical infrastructure. And again, ActivistPost.com breaking it down quite well. As the cybersecurity directive goes viral, we have been covering this week after week, whether it's Schmidt and the license, essentially, to drive on the internet, the Lieberman bill, the kill switch, all of it. GAO slams the White House for failing to lead on cybersecurity, and you can download that from GAO.gov. But again, pulling back big picture, again from Paul Joseph Watson, the lights are going out for free speech on the net, and that's why we have to use it like we are, as if it could disappear tomorrow, to share this information and to spread all of it and make connections. Germany officials launch legal action against Facebook. That's from the BBC. U.S. largely ruling out North Korea in 2009 cyber attacks. Oh, I thought we were darn sure it was them. And the last note, porn pranksters have field day with a YouTube injection flaw. Things much too complicated to wrap my brain around. But again, we're putting it all out there for you on cyberspacewar.com. Danger Room and tons of other folks had realized that in the official logo from the military's new United States Cyber Command, CyberCom, that there was a strange code hidden in there. So Danger Room ran a contest, crack the code in CyberCom's logo. That would basically get you a t-shirt and a trip to the International Spy Museum, which we've made fun of their podcast here on MediaMonarchy.com. I should have sent Danger Room my suggestion that the code says, be sure to drink your Ovaltine. Scratch that. Be sure to fight the net like an enemy weapon system. So the update is that it is cracked, and you can go through all the links and all the little funny ins and outs of all of this, but basically the code is CyberCom's mission statement. U.S. CyberCom plans, coordinates, integrates, synchronizes, and conducts activities to direct yada, yada, yada. I'm not reading that garbage. More on the Bradley Manning situation from the Washington Post. He has now officially been charged. U.S. soldier linked to WikiLeaks collateral murder video is charged. Army intelligence analyst charged in connection with the leak of a controversial video of a U.S. helicopter strike and the transfer of more than 50 classified State Department cables. Private First Class Bradley Manning, a 22, detained in Kuwait in May after WikiLeaks, a whistleblower website, released the video which it called collateral murder. The footage, taken by cameras on U.S. Apache helicopters, shows several civilians, including two Reuters News Agency employees, being killed in a U.S. airstrike in 2007, much to the glee of the Mountain Dew Code Red video game-addled military brains. TSA to block controversial opinion on the web. This from CBS News. The TSA blocking certain websites from the federal agency's computers, including halting access by staffers to any internet pages that contain a, quote, controversial opinion. This according to an internal email obtained by CBS News, and it gets into inappropriate for government access, chat messaging, controversial opinion, criminal activity, extreme violence, including cartoon violence and gruesome content, and gaming. So the email didn't specify how the TSA would determine if a website expressed a controversial opinion, but oh, wouldn't you know it, the update, TSA reverses controversial opinion web policy, as most of the wimpy organizations will do. When people misspeak or do the wrong thing or there's a public outcry, oh wait, no, we'll change it, we didn't mean it. If you didn't say anything, we would have kept on. But now that you freaked out, when you give me that look, it's a joke. Quickly, even more so now, let's jump to foodworldorder.com and hit the 7-8 binge and purge salmonella Sasquatch. That's right. A lot of these are going to be from foodsafetynews.com, naturalnews.com. Salmonella at the Sasquatch Music Festival. That's the big festival that happened Memorial Day weekend in the Gorge Amphitheater in George, Washington. And I know some folks that went to that. Send them this story. 7 cases salmonella confirmed in attendees of Sasquatch Music Festival. People from Washington and British Columbia. Then the Grant County Health Department had inspectors perusing the Lilith Fair the following weekend. The Organic Consumers Association exposes phony organic products. We've been hitting that off and on in the previous months and weeks on foodworldorder.com, whether it's Newman's Own Organics, using the term to throw people off. But again, Oregon's Pacific Nutritional Foods, they've agreed to pay a $30,000 settlement. I believe this connects to their tofu that I stock. We've also got food frauds on sale at FDA headquarters. That's from CSPINet.org. FDA can talk a good game, but if you go into their own headquarters, they've got a bunch of terrible, bad food frauds on sale. We've been following kids and sweets and advertising, and they want cereal more if it's got a character they like. Of course, this is all no-brainers, but again, it just further cements what we already know. WebMD reports kids seeing fewer ads for sweets, but more for fast food. Lastly, from Voice of America, the UN Commission on Food, a.k.a. Codex Alimentarius, has set new food standards. Now, this all sounds well and good because it's going to crack down on melamine, which, of course, has killed multitudes of people. And that's how a lot of these encroachments on all of our liberties happen, here, there, everywhere. It starts off kind of sounding good with something that you can get behind. I don't want melamine in my milk. Neither do people in China or anywhere else. But those are the precedents. That's how the vampire gets in. That's how the salesman keeps his foot in the door. That's how they keep coming at you and wear you down. McNuggets made with a silly putty chemical from the San Francisco Guardian. They note, by way of CNN, and we've also got Wikipedia to kind of flesh out some of these terms and things, revealing that the fast food chain makes McNuggets with a chemical preservative called TBHQ, tertiary butyl hydroquinone, a petroleum-based product. McNuggets also contain dimethylpolysiloxane, an anti-foaming agent also used in Silly Putty. Interestingly enough, friends, across the Atlantic in the UK, McNuggets don't contain these chemicals and they're less fattening. Author Marion Nestle, a New York University professor and author of What to Eat, told CNN that the tertiary butyl hydroquinone and the other one in the McNuggets probably pose no health risks, but she added that as a general rule, and it should be pretty much everyone's rule, you shouldn't eat things with ingredients you can't pronounce. From Freakonomics, which is a blog on the New York Times, also the name of the book. And this connects us right back to so many of the things we've already talked about, whether that's Kickstarter or community media in the new financial world order. Pay what you want at new nonprofit Panera. A new nonprofit Panera Bread outside of St. Louis, Missouri, caught the eye of a number of Freakonomics readers. Customers are told to pay what they want for their meals. The pilot restaurant is run by a nonprofit foundation, the Associated Press reports. If it can sustain itself financially, Panera will expand the model around the country within months. It all depends on whether customers will abide by the motto that hangs over the deli counter: take what you need, leave your fair share. Fascinating, interesting things going on, swirling all around us. And again, as we're standing in the eye of it all, it's difficult to have perspective. And again, don't take my word for any of these things. Do the research for yourself. And ultimately, I think through the years of doing the site and the show, I think I've mellowed. I don't know if mellowed is the term for it. I think we've gotten into a groove that, again, in the initial stages of looking at alternative news and alternative history and alternative media and crazy conspiracy theories, when the light bulbs start going off, the tendency is that you think it's going to be martial law tomorrow. But as we've said time and time again, it looks like they're going for a more Brave New World frog boil, slow, incremental rolling out of these agendas that, again, we've seen throughout the decades and the centuries. So with all of that and all the things we've gone through on this episode, we didn't do a B-side episode this week. It's all contained right here on episode 177. And again, we have been recording clips each week for the past couple of months that will be available on ustream.tv/Media Monarchy, as well as on my YouTube channel, which again, thanks to James Corbett for getting tons of new subscribers on youtube.com/Media Monarchy. We're going to end, interestingly enough, with the way we began, I think. So our final story from foodworldorder.com by way of MSNBC, and we have the supplemental contextual links for you to help flesh out the story from lakewileypilot.com, WYFF4.com, and even Fox Carolina. 60-plus pounds of vegetables stolen from South Carolina garden. The sign on the side of the road read, "Homegrown veggies for sale," but thieves apparently ignored the words, "for sale." The theft happened last weekend at a home along Bennett's Bridge Road in the Greer area of Spartanburg County, South Carolina. Homeowner didn't want to be identified, but told deputies that somebody stole 40 pounds of ripe tomatoes, 20 pounds of lima and butter beans, and took all her cucumbers and squash. The victim told WYFF News 4's Mike McCormick that thieves have hit her garden before, but last weekend's incident was the worst she's ever seen. The woman said she's been growing and selling produce for 16 years, and she's seen more theft this year than ever before. She blames the economy for the crimes. Now, if that doesn't swirl all the way back around and hit the very first story we discussed on this episode 177, marijuana bust is where the money is for the cops. People are stealing our natural resources. Sometimes they're doing it because they're part of an enforcement policy agenda. And other times, they're just victims of the new financial world order. Stealing our natural resources. Stealing our vegetables. Stealing our personal vegetables, if you will. That's going to do it, my friends. Again, so many things I'd like to go into in greater detail. We just don't have time here. I put out the call for a little bit of help on running some of the things in the monarchy kingdom. Perhaps I should be a little more specific about some of the things. But if you're interested in trying to help out, and whether that's some graphic design that I may need, some website, back-end kind of work, or posting links and articles to Food World Order or Cyberspace War, send me an email, mediamonarchy@gmail.com, and we can get into it more again. And that's how we connect and grow. I'll remind you, the donation button is still up there on the top right of the page. Your support helps keep independent alternative media outlets going, like this one. We'll make one reference to one of our visitors to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week, and that was the Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital out of New York City. My friends, I thank you so much for joining me yet again on Media Monarchy. It's July 9th, 2010. This has been the 177th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. I don't know what else to say. I think as my dad would always say, just, you know, keep your chin up. And that's how we'll do it. My name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, as always, to get active or get radioactive. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, VRAradio.org, the New World Next video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail meeting it to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether you went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The Thought Police would get him just the same.